podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
How's it going, people? Welcome back to the channel. Welcome back to the Forever Arsenal podcast. The last one that's league related anyway, for a little while, considering the World Cup's here. But we will be back later on this week. We're going to do a little World Cup draw. We're all going to draw two teams out. I'll obviously run it as the host. And we'll follow those two clubs and see which one goes the whole way, if any of the eight top seeds. We'll see. But before that, we've got some Arsenal to talk about. And again, smiles. And it's probably, look, it's definitely a wider smile than usual for Jordan. 5 points here at the top of the table. Manchester City lost this weekend. Arsenal capitalised and were in such a position that I didn't even feel the need to mention Chelsea lost, because I feel like they're quite far behind at this moment in time. And, you know, when was the last time we could even say that? So things are looking up for Arsenal Football Club. 5 points clear at the top of the table. We beat Wolves away. Another clean sheet. Another one away from home. All of the players are chipping in. This weekend, it was Odegaard's turn in terms of the goals. He now heads into the break, our top scorer. Listen, I could go on and on. I just did the big six and I opened. And, you know, for once, you know, people tend to say I don't talk enough about Arsenal. But I let loose, because 14 games and now a break. I think it's time to really sit down and analyse, talk about and hope for the future. Big up Jordan, Lee and James as always, people. Hit the like button as always, people. 1,000 nice and early. I'm going to pass it over to Lee as always. He went to the game. So I want to get his perspective on how the game unfolded before we get into the wider context of things, which is the 14 games in top.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm delighted. I've just been C-bombed by Jordan before we start, like, you know, and also I'm here today just to say, like, you know, Sophie Rose said to me today, like, do you want to come back for a coffee and a bit of cake? Just put it mildly, like a bit of cake, bit of birthday cake, Jordan. Don't get too far away. And I just turned around and said, no, I've got to do the Forever Arsenal. I am dedicated to this show, like, so here I am. No cake, James. There you go. But cake. Well, what can I say about the performance? Oh, listen, I'm going to say it now.
Why did he shout no cake, James, at me?
He's angry.
because it was you that said, oh, I can't do yesterday, I think, if it was right.
Yes, that is, yeah. That's correct, Lee. Yeah. I'm so sorry.
So you've cost me my cake. That's all I'm saying.
Just get on with it.
Sorry.
Give us your thoughts.
So I've got to say, more than pleased with that performance. I thought it was another good, solid performance. Defensively, I thought we played really, really well. And I think that was the case. I was looking at it. I'm watching the game. We was actually in a box on Saturday night. I don't know if you see it, but it was very, very nice. And you've got to be a little bit more refined. Is that the word I could use, you know, when you're in a box, you know? Can't be shouting and screaming and giving it all that. So I actually sort of sat there and after my fourth glass of champagne, I thought, I'm going to really analyse this game. And what I'd actually done was, I defensively, I thought we was really good. And do you know what I've come to the conclusion over these last few games? I don't know how you guys think about this, is that I don't think we've been ever looking like we're going to lose a game. Do you know, we get 1-0 up. I'm not panicking and thinking, oh, they're going to score in a minute. Oh, this, you know, getting nerves and everything like that. They started pumping balls into our defenders and we was winning the balls. It seems like now when it matters for our defenders, they think, right, this is our time to defend now, and we're going to do it and defend well. I thought Gabriel played really, really well, apart from one rash challenge at the end there, where I think that, you know, Traore caused us a few problems, you know, and I think like a couple of seasons ago, I think I'd have been, you know, in all sorts of nervous states. But I thought we dealt with that really, really well, and it was a comfortable 2-0 win. Credit to Wolves. I felt that they made it hard for us to break them down. We needed a bit of magic. Jesus provided that with a pass. Brilliant pass. And I'm going to say it now, guys. You know, we lost Xhaka after 5 minutes in that game. Really, probably even before that, because I just didn't think he was at the races. Yeah. And we carried on and still it didn't really derail us that much. I felt that I thought it was a great performance, a really brilliant away performance, a professional job done, and I'm loving this Arsenal bit because we're winning in different ways, guys. You know what I mean? We can win, not ugly, but you know what I mean? It weren't great, but we still come out and won it comfortably. And, you know, when have we've done that in the past? If we've played not well, we've been beaten. And when we've played well, we've lost at times. But at this moment in time, we're seeming to know how to get the job done. And I'm really, really enjoying it. And, you know, the only disappointment for me is the World Cup's come along now. I'm going to miss this for the next 6 weeks because I've been really, really enjoying it, guys. Really enjoying it.
So, while we're on that topic, do you think the World Cup is more a hindrance than it is maybe a welcome break for us to reset and refocus?
I think it's not the end of the world because we knew it was happening, didn't we? You know, so I think that for someone like Wolves, talking to a few Wolves fans, it was a great point. They're well pleased that the World Cup's here now because it means that they've got another little pre-season with a new manager and get their sort of job done. And I think it for us now is to just take stock of what we've done and go again. I don't think it's going to be too much of an hindrance. I'll let you know after the Brighton game and the West Ham game. But I think we'd be okay. I think that we've all planned for it. I think even in my head, I've sort of planning for it. But what a way to finish it off, boys. You know what I mean? 1-0 win at Chelsea and a 2-0 win at Wolves. When those fixtures come out, I looked at those last two and I thought, oh, just before the World Cup, you know what I mean? That's real two tough games. And then, you know, if things don't go well, you've got all these 6 weeks to like on the back of your mind that we've lost them or didn't do well in them. We breezed them. Breezed through them.
Yeah. Jordan, James, let's go with Jordan. I haven't spoken about anything yet. Focus on the game and then touching on the break as well. What do you make of it?
Can you guys hear me okay? I've not got my usual headphones in. So, okay, cool.
Loud and clear.
Perfect. The Wolves game first. Go on.
I think I might know the comment of the day now, but go on. Go ahead. Yes, I know.
No, I haven't seen it. I'm looking forward to
this. This is a stitch up. All right, it just came
to my mind now. I remember going through the comments.
All right. I see you too. I see you. On the Wolves game, first of all, listen, I'm just really glad that we I don't know if it's something you'd like to say anymore, and apologies if this is offensive to many people, but we kind of manned up in the sense of we saw what happened at Manchester City and we didn't just... We stepped up. We really grabbed our game and we really pushed out our chest and said, you know what? We've got an opportunity here to really, really assert ourselves into this title race. Whether we are or not, I think most people think we are, but that's a discussion for another time maybe. But the fact that we didn't let that... Enough times in previous years, we miss opportunities to capitalize on other teams around us winning games. But and whether they focus on the City game or not, they might have beaten Wolves even if City had won. I don't know. But I was just like, when I saw the Man City result, I was like, oh, okay, this is the one time now, Arsenal, you don't drop points. I mean, I'd have been upset if they dropped points anyway. But after City give you a little... Because City are going to be on your case in the new year. Let's have it right. They will come. They will hunt us down. So any advantage you can get, you've got to take it. Because City will not drop many points. They just won't. So when they do, you've got to make it count. And we did. And I was just really, really pleased with that. I agree with Lee. Losing, you know, he who I won't name, one of our best players this season. So early in the game, one of our leaders on the pitch... I thought was something that I was really, really good to see. I thought in the first half we were quite poor. I thought we were really flat. Let's be real, we wasn't good in that first half at all. And also, I thought they could have had a penalty. I thought we might have got away with one. I thought they should have had a penalty.
The offside one you're talking about.
Well, yeah, I couldn't work out if they didn't give it because they didn't think it was a foul, or they didn't give it because it was offside.
I think it was the offside. I think they went with the on-field decision, basically.
Yeah.
Okay.
When we saw footage back, it looked like it might have been, you know, on the cusp. They never put the lines to it. I didn't see no lines.
Okay.
I don't think they knew what to do.
I don't know either.
He might have been offside, but then we have to check if it's a foul. But then was it quite in the air? Because it was in the air, but I don't know.
I thought they just got away with one there. Just.
Yeah, we'll wave this on. We'll allow the on-field decision.
Yeah. Well, that went in our favour, that one there. Second half, we came out and Mikel Arteta just gave them a rocket at half time. He said, listen, guys, what are you doing? What are you doing? Like, come on, man. Let's get these 3 points and finish this part of the season on a high. So the game itself, I was really pleased with. I thought Odegaard was one of his better games this season. He stepped up and delivered. Wolves aren't very good at the moment. So I think that you could argue wearing them down, we were going to get what we got. But I also agree with Lee in the sense that when he says there's not been any games this season where I've been fearful about us losing. The only game I've not been totally convinced we were going to win was the Southampton game. I know we peppered their goal in the latter part of that game, but that was the only game where I was a bit like, I think this is going to finish a draw. Even the game that we lost, I thought we were going to win. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So there's not been many games this season where, whether we're 1-0 down, whatever it may be, where I've not been confident that we're going to win the game. So listen, it's been a really good first half of the season. I think we're going to explore the season at depth in a little bit. But the Wolves game itself, I'm just glad we took advantage. And final point on this one as well, I find it a little bit ironic that it was Wolves, because last season, let's not remember, Neves and the Fun Police were saying that we over-celebrated when we beat Wolves last time. Whereas if we win the title this season, we could look back on this weekend as the weekend where it was pivotal. And we could celebrate, look back saying that was the weekend where City lost, Arsenal won, beating Wolves. And actually, we were right to celebrate because something good was unfolding. So I'm glad we beat Wolves. And I'm really glad we got a break. Now, final point. I don't really buy into this idea that, oh, Arsenal are going to be making excuses if they don't come back strong momentum. Listen, the World Cup can damage anybody. And short of losing Saka, bloody, I don't know, Ramsdale, who else? Jesus White. And Jesus, White. Yeah. To some like leg breakers out for 4 months. I think we just got to just accept the fact that we knew when the World Cup was coming. Just get on with it. It could influence, it could help United. It could hinder United. It could help City. It could hinder City. Stop making excuses. Just come back with the right mindset and go again. I'm not really buying into this prepared excuse that, oh, we fell off because of the World Cup. Just get on with it.
Well, actually, I think a lot of Arsenal fans are saying, you know, why are people... It's more a lot of mainstream media I see writing us off going, well, you know, it's a strange year, the World Cup. And actually, look, you can do the mental gymnastics any way you want, right? But you could argue Arsenal, with the form they've been on and the level we've played at, the fitness, you know, the work ethic... A break has come at such a welcome time with the way it ended. If you're City, I don't think you want to go to the World Cup with that being your last kick of all, especially the last couple games, actually, just getting over the line at Fulham, not brilliant at Leicester, De Bruyne free kick wins.
Last three games, the Leicester game, De Bruyne free kick was a difference in that game. But yeah, sorry.
Exactly. No, that's it. They've not been brilliant. I don't think Pep Guardiola will be particularly happy. Look, you could also flip it and go, no, they'll be delighted they've had a break because they're not playing brilliantly. But I don't think so. I think there'll be a little part of them that's like, oh, you know, I can't believe that's the kind of tone we're leaving it on. Liverpool have been finding a little bit of form, back-to-back wins. They'll be thinking, just as we're getting into the swing of things, you don't want the break. United have this Ronaldo drama going on. Chelsea are going in on the back of 4 defeats. Again, you could argue they probably do want the break because Potter needs that pre-season time. So again, you can do the mental gymnastics any which way you want. But ultimately, I think... with everyone else, you can kind of see why they would or wouldn't want a World Cup break. I think with Arsenal, yes, I understand what they're saying about form, but I don't think you can understate how hard these players are working. Like Martinelli, Jesus, Saka, they press all the way up the pitch, chase, have to score goals, do everything. And then when the other team cross the halfway line, they've got to drop into a low block, protect what they've got, get very, very deep. You know, they work incredibly hard and they haven't got the depth where that we could play Leeds away and go, Xhaka, you can rest this one. No, it's Xhaka, you have to play. You're going to have to get through the 90 minutes and you're going to have to, you know, put in a captain's performance to get us through. So I actually think knowing that we want to do some business in January, knowing that we've got kind of maybe 5-6 starters at the World Cup, I think 8 players in total going, I actually think Arsenal will benefit from this break personally. But yeah, the game was very good. And it's interesting what you said about the first half not being great, Jordan. I thought... I agree. It wasn't actually great compared to what we've been doing this season. But then I wonder if we'd put in that performance against Wolves last season, I think we'd all be talking about how we were good in the first half, just didn't create enough. Second half, a lot better. We had total control. Last year, even, well, no, I say even with 10, and we had 10 men. Well, we did well in the first. I've got the goal, and then we were holding on for the last 20 minutes. You know, you can see where this Arsenal side's evolved, and our kind of expectations of what a good performance is have changed. So, yeah, well done to the team. Well done. What a way to send us off into the World Cup.
Perfect. And yeah, and Jordan said something about, you know, taking advantage when other teams lose. But, you know, I feel like we've been doing it for a little while now, to the point we get to talking about taking advantage of a City loss. You know, to get to that point, you have to start taking advantage of Chelsea, United, Tottenham losses, and then Liverpool losses. And you know, look at the position we're in now. But there is a World Cup break. And, you know, Lee Jordan touched on it already. James, you know, we've talked about it already. When you look at other teams and you look at the amount of, well, I say other teams, the ones that would expect to be in and around considering our start to the season at the end of the season, they've got a lot more players, I guess, playing significant minutes than we would. So we'll see how it pans out. We can't really say much now. We have to see what countries go through, what countries make it far, who comes back early, who comes back late, and analyze it then. We haven't got the League Cup fixture after the World Cup. So, you know, we have a little week to prepare. I believe we have set friendlies as well, if I'm not mistaken. I saw a post alluding to some friendlies across November and December, including Barcelona as well at the Emirates. I'm not sure you can attend it, but yeah, we've got a couple interesting friendlies lined up. But this show, I want to look back at not just the Wolves game. I want to look back at the last 14 games, the Premier League season so far. I guess you could include Europa and then the League Cup, but not so much the League Cup, Europa. But our performances haven't really been at the same level of the Premier League, and it's a heavily rotated side. So let's look back at this season so far, 14 games. We can touch on favourite moment, players of the season. I'm not sure where we should start.
Should we go for our favourite performances this season? And I put it as favourite, not necessarily best, because best you count opposition and all that, but I think favourite, you can kind of talk about, you know, the North London derby as a weight to it. You might put Forest up there because it was actually Arsenal flexing their muscles and putting five past the team, and that's not something we've done a lot in the last couple of years. But I think they've been five or six games. I mean, and there's bound to be when we've won as many games as we have, but five or six games where you can look and actually kind of, they were moments where one might say that was when I started to believe that Arsenal were actually challenging for the title. Liverpool being one of them, that 3-2, finally beating them after so long, the whole Klopp thing, you know, we'd struggled against him since he arrived and even a bit when he was at Dortmund. And the control we demonstrated in that second half to, you know, basically when you think Liverpool are going to stick it on you, we just keep the ball, we move it around, we just show such composure and ultimate professionalism throughout. You know, that was a game that I think I came away from like so impressed. So yeah, that was a big one for me.
I think I look at Brentford away. Off the top of my head, wasn't that after the United loss, because the Everton game got postponed, and I just thought after that United loss, I agree, you know, with Jordan and all of you, it didn't look like we was going to lose that game at 1-1. We all had high hopes going into the game, having won our first fight. But we took the hit, we got exposed a little bit, and it cost us. It cost us the only loss of the season so far in the league. But after that Everton game was postponed, an easier fixture at the Emirates, we met Brentford away, and you know, we saw what happened Brentford away at the start of last season. So not only was it off the back of a loss against United, it was also one that last season we was ridiculed for. It was the catalyst for the first three losses and so on. And we disposed of them in the most efficient, mature manner that I've seen an Arsenal side dispose of a team away from home in a long, long time. 3-0 it was at the end. And what more could I ask for? I include the Liverpool one in. Like you said, there's a few in there for sure. I can make an argument for at least four games. But the Brentford one really sticks out, because I said to myself, listen, I wanted 5 wins out of 5 heading into Old Trafford. I said it's not the end of the world at Old Trafford, but we have to bounce back. And that's what we've done. And we haven't looked back since. Lee?
Yeah, I'm with you on that Brentford game. I've got to say, I was so impressed with everything about that game, the way we control the game. I think that's the first time in a very, very long while. And I actually said it, I think, in the interview after that game as well. I don't remember ever going to a ground, even when we went in the Invincible year, when I thought that we could actually lose or something could happen and go wrong. We just totally dominated that game from start to finish, a Premier League game. I didn't see us in danger. I thought the goals that day were sensational. If you remember the Vieira goal and the Jesus goal from fantastic build-up, I thought we defended really, really well. I think on the back of the performance last year, you know, it was a good one. I have to say that when you look at Brentford, they're very, very physical, and they showed you that on the weekend against Manchester City. We handled that. We handled Ivan Toney, who hardly had a kick. And if you remember rightly, I think Toney had just been called up to the England squad for that game.
Yeah.
So he must have been on a real high. He never got a kick. Never got a kick that game, like, you know. So for me, as a performance, I come out of that ground and thinking, wow, you know, that was it for me. I'm going to say another highlight for me at the beginning of the season and everything was the trip to America, because that showed me and given me the confidence going into that game against Crystal Palace. I remember going to that game, I felt confident we was going to win that game because of what I'd seen in the pre-season. It was exciting. It was exciting to go to Arsenal. I was looking forward to going. Do you know what, last season, and this is the difference between probably this season and last, when we was playing Brentford, I was dreading it. Dreading that game.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? But Crystal Palace, just as tough, maybe even tougher, I was relishing it.
Yeah.
And that is because we had a very, very good pre-season. And I think that, yeah, the Spurs game will obviously always, it's always great to beat them. But I think from a home performance, the one against Liverpool was a big, big statement win as well. It was one where, on the back of the Spurs win, and I say this now, I thought Liverpool played really, really well with Spurs in the first half, but I felt in the game against Arsenal, they played really well in both halves. It was the best I've seen Liverpool play this season, and we managed to get over the line. So from a statement win, the Liverpool game at home, but I think the Brentford game for me just really nicks it for me, because it was just all round superb.
And on that start to the season as well, Palace away could be included in that, considering how we started.
That was a tough game. That was a tough game, but we Friday night. Domp was superb in the first 20, 25 minutes of that game. It was really encouraging. We, you know, ran out of steam towards the end, but we held on and defended really, really well. So, you know, listen, you could pick out every game because there's been some fantastic performances. But, you know, like, I've just coming to me now, the Jesus goal against Leicester, what finish that was. But, you know, it's been great. But I think that those two games, one home, one away, have really given me the belief that Arsenal, I'm not saying going to go and win the league, but the belief that things can happen this season.
Yeah, Jordan, over to you.
Yeah, man, I'll pick two. I mean, I agree. I think the Liverpool one was significant, as James says, because we've not had a good record against Liverpool for the best part of a decade. And I agree with Lee again that Liverpool haven't been good this season, but they were very good on that day. They were very good on that day. And we beat them. We didn't beat a Liverpool team that United beat when Liverpool were in pieces. We beat a Liverpool team that actually played really well for, well, the first half. I think they shaded the first half. Mm. The second half, I think we were better. But I think they were, even when we were better than them, they were still really good. And they scored in that second half quite early. So I think that was a significant win for us to beat a top team who played well on the day. That was important for us. But the game that I'm going to pick is one that you flagged just then, the Palace game. Because I think the Palace game set the tone. That set the tone for the season. To go to Palace, all right, Palace aren't a top team. But a lot of teams, you know, Palace are not a crap team. Palace are a decent mid-table Premier League side. And to go there in the first game of the season, especially again, as Lee says, you know, a year on from what happened on the Friday night the year before, it was night and day. Prepared versus not being prepared, you know, coached versus not being coached, you know, ready for a raucous atmosphere and fan base versus not being ready for one. I just thought, and Lee's right, towards the end, we did gas out. First game of the season, so they can maybe forgive them a little bit for that. But that first game for me, I think not only set the tone for us as a fan base, but I think other fans and other teams were like, oh, okay, the Saliba looks good. Saliba was immense. Saliba was insane that day. And I think a lot of other people thought, okay, it's only one game. It's only one game, but the Arsenal look, you know, Saliba's done well. Jesus settled in well. So that I'll go with the Palace game only because I think it set the tone for what was to follow. You know, really, we started really well with every game this season. Jesus has played well. Saliba's played well. Played in that game. He played well. I think Partey played that game as well. Everyone played well into the last half an hour when we kind of gassed out a little bit. But yeah, I'll go for that game. And if we're picking a goal, I just thought I'll pick my favourite goal so far. There's been so many good goals.
Wait, let's hold on the goal.
Oh, sorry.
We have to play a first, but you can start with player because we've got the performances in the games of the season. In
I will say, I'm surprised none of us, I don't know, I had the opportunity to say it, but surprised none of us said that Stamford Bridge win. Just
because James, you know what? Sorry to cut you both there. I was going to say, a lot of people would say Chelsea because it's a big team away. But the reason why I feel like Liverpool better than more so than the Chelsea one is Liverpool played good. Chelsea were dog. We beat a really, really bad Chelsea team. Whereas we beat a decent, quite a good Liverpool. That's why I think the Liverpool game for me is more impressive. And also, we always went to the Bridge. Whereas Liverpool, we don't beat Liverpool. We just don't beat them.
Arteta always wins at the Bridge.
All right, fair enough.
But yeah, no, you're right. You know, I think still to make it three wins in a row there, and the way we kind of controlled and saw it through. But you know, like we said, it could be any. You're right. The North London derby league is always great, but wasn't that day just brilliant? Like, I know, what is it about beating Tottenham? Like, even though beating Liverpool at home and Chelsea away is more impressive, there's just like when that Xhaka. Sorry, do you know what? Carry on. I was about to touch on something else, but you carry on.
No, but I'll tell you what. It's a great point you make about Chelsea game because we was the first team to beat a top six team away from home, and we've not flagged it up as you know. Oh, well, you know what I mean. That's one of those things that just shows you, you know, where we've come. That the you know, I do think it was a great win, but I didn't think it was a great game, if I'll be honest. When
it's
I was
awful.
It was one where you have to grind out, and you know, there've been better performances this season than Chelsea. If we be honest, there has been, but we still won that game, so it's bloody fantastic, isn't it?
Lee, have you watched Tactical Insight yet?
No, I haven't watched Tactical Insight yet. Though,
Well, that shocks me. Sorry. Well,
I will because I've got it on my phone and I will. But do you know, as you well know today, I've had a very, very busy day today. So,
of course. Absolutely. Well, I don't mean to spoil it for you, but there was an interesting stat from Graham. Big up Graham, always comes in with these big stats. And it was the away league table. And I think it's basically like 6 wins out of 8. Yeah, 2 clean sheets. 19 points we've picked up away from home, the best of any team in the division. But what I found most interesting is that we've actually played 8 away games where Spurs have played 7, City have played 6. But the fact that we're going away from home, picking up 6 clean sheets out of 8, scoring the amount of goals, I've gone a bit off topic there, but you know, ended the season with 2 clean sheets, 3 goals and 6 points from Chelsea away, Wolves away. That's a tricky end. That's a really tricky end. City ended with Fulham and Brentford at home, with all due respect. We ended with 2 away games and we've come out with a bigger gap. So, you know, anyway.
And that's a fantastic point. So we've, out of the 14 games, it's not been 7-7, then it's been 8-6.
It's been 8-6. City have had 6-8 and only 2 games against the big 6. So basically, as Turkish said in the WhatsApp group, it's coming home.
Football's coming on, mate. But listen, performance of the season out the way, player of the season next. Let's start with Jordan on this one.
That's really hard because I think there's been about 5 players.
It's hard because you can't say his name. That's why it's hard, Jordan.
Hang on. Stop being too hasty. I think the fact that every pod we've done this season and we've reviewed a game, we rarely agree on the man of the match of every game. A couple of times, yeah. But most of the time, we could name 3 candidates, definitely 2, for pretty much every game. And that, for me, says that everyone is chipping in. Some games, we say it's Saliba. Some games we say it's Partey. Some games, it's Jesus. Some games, it's, I don't know, it's Saka, Martinelli, It's been shared around. So I'll say that first of all. I I think it's he who I won't name. I think the player of the season so far for us.
The big builder.
Yeah, I think I'm a fair man. I think Saliba's been amazing. Jesus in most games has been brilliant. Saka's my boy. Gabriel, most games has been a 7 or 8 out of 10. Martinelli, but I think we've got to be honest. I think the person... All right. Here's how I judge it. I think he who I won't name, in every game he's played so far this season, if he's not the first player, the best player on the pitch, he's second or third. Whereas Saliba might have been fourth or fifth. Jesus might have been fourth or fifth on the list. Saka might have been fourth or fifth. Whereas I don't think he who I won't name has been out of the top three in every single game. That's how I kind of aggregate it. So I've got to give it to the Swiss captain.
I've got a mission for anyone watching this who's a good video editor, or we might have to get Skullthugger in it. If we can just get, you know, that scene from Breaking Bad when Walter White says, "Say my name."
Yeah.
If we just get Jordan going, "Granit Xhaka." Goddamn right. If we can please get that edited and made, someone else.
Well, honestly, I'm actually going to note that down, you know.
That would be world class.
Are Switzerland at the World Cup?
Yeah.
Are there. Okay.
He's captaining them, yeah.
Yeah.
He's writing it down.
It's okay. It would
be good if we can get that. Come on, this show.
That would just be absolutely...
No, fair play to him. I think he's been phenomenal. I think he's been so good. Goals, assists, and alongside both of those things, leadership. Just he's been a leader. Nothing dumb, nothing stupid. He's the calm influence. He lets people know, look, don't mess with my players when he needs to, but he doesn't cross the line. So I'd give it to him.
Yeah, I think you said everything that I can say about the situation. I say Xhaka, and when I say Xhaka, sometimes I think to myself, oh, but Saliba's made such an impact.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but Jesus has added so much quality. He takes so much attention away from the others at times. That's why Odegaard has what he has. Saka, Martinelli, he's helped them no end, regardless of maybe a lack of goals over the last few games. But what you said there about Xhaka consistently being in the top 2-3 players every game, and them two maybe not necessarily being there every game, maybe 9 times out of 10 this season, but Xhaka's been there every game. So I'm going to give it to him as well.
I guess, sorry, I'm interrupting again. I guess the best way to decide this is, If you didn't have one player so far this season, took out one player, who would Arsenal be affected by the most this season so far?
See, that's where I disagree, because I think if we missed Jesus, we'd be a lot worse off than Xhaka.
Or Partey.
And maybe Saliba, depending on what Arteta does. Ben
White. I don't know about Saliba. I think Partey. Maybe Jesus, but I think Partey. Saliba, I think Ben White would do a good enough job at centre-back to be able to get us where we've got to right now. Saliba's better, clearly. But I don't think the impact of losing Saliba would be as big, because the centre-back cover isn't hugely down. It's not a massive drop-off. Whereas a drop-off from Partey to Lokonga, the drop-off from Jesus to Nketiah is huge. So, yeah.
I'm going to put forward... Did I just jump in? Was it meant to be Lee?
No, whoever.
Well, thank you so much, Lee.
No problems whatsoever, James.
Oh, you're a lovely bloke.
No, thank you.
What is this?
You know, I love your glasses, by the way.
Thank you very much. I'm trying to be you.
You're trying to be me? Yeah, I was going to say. You're in the wall.
Lee, you going to go around James for some cake or what?
What's going on? Some cake.
he started talking about how he was analysing the game against Wolves, and now he's wearing glasses, and I thought, okay, fair enough, you know.
Maybe he's having a tactical insight, and that's it.
I've just got to get some fluffy pillows now, and I'll be well away.
What's wrong with my pillows? Anyway. I agree. It's Granit Xhaka for me. So I'll make the case just for my second person for the sake of a good debate. Ben White, second. Ooh. Maybe for me, just because
100%.
It's just class. He's a class act. I don't know. Like, because the thing I like about Ben White isn't just the like what he's doing on the pitch as a footballer, but it's kind of his attitude to it all. Like, you know, we mentioned it in press conferences, him tripping up players for no reason, just for the sake of it. I think he's got a real, like, he's kind of seen as a modern defender because he can overlap now, we've learned this season, and he's very good on the ball. But don't take anything away from his defending. Like, he's getting blocks in and just putting his body on the line. And, you know, one game against Ivan Toney on his debut, suddenly the man can't head a ball. I've not seen him lose a header. Okay, maybe one against Leicester. But generally, I've barely seen him lose a header. So he's been so good. And remember, Tomiyasu looked undroppable at one point. Looked absolutely undroppable, which speaks volumes how good Saliba, White, Zinchenko have been, that Tierney and Tomiyasu were seen as irreplaceable, now don't get in the team. And will have a big part to play at some point, I'm sure, because they're also quality players. But yeah, White, I love him. I love him, I love him. And if Southgate, I know Southgate will play a back three, he just will. It's just what he's used to and what he's comfortable with. But White, especially with Walker not fully fit, White's got to be that right centre-back for them.
Yeah, 100%.
He's just got to be perfect. So I'll be watching him closely at the World Cup if Southgate does the right thing for once and plays.
I'm with you, James. I think that, you know, Jordan made a very good point there that about Xhaka. He's been in probably the top two or three all season in games. So has Ben White. I think he's been, you know, sensational this season. I think that gone under the radar a little bit because of Saliba. But Saliba wasn't great against Wolves, if I'll be honest. There was a couple of little mistakes in there. He's had a couple of dodgy games in a bunch of 14. Probably two, you could, like, you know, and he's been outstanding in the rest. But Ben White, I don't think, has put a foot wrong all season. I actually, talking about this on another show the other day, when was the last time Ben White had a bad game? And people keep going, Brentford last year, like, you know what I mean? Has it really been that long, like, you know? I just think he's been... I had a thing, I was doing something about England today. He's, out of all those defenders in that England squad, he is the best defender in the team at this moment, in the squad at this moment in time. He's been the best defender. I think... over the games, if you sort of like, do you know what you'd give points out, like, you know, 8 out of 10? I think he's had 8 out of 10 every single game, you know, like, and that's sometimes that's what you want, consistency, nothing, you know, steady. And he's just got better and better and better. And I think at the end of the day, you know, the fans were calling him Ben Shite at the beginning of last season, like, you know, he's actually turned it around fantastically well now, like, you know what I mean? Like,
I didn't know that.
So, like, we actually, like, you know, somebody said today they should be called Benjamin Blanco, like, you know what I mean? Because he's just got that ring to it, like, you know what I mean? You know, that's how good he's become, like. So, he's my Blanco now, like, you know. So,
Benny Blanco.
I think he's been brilliant. I think that if you look at Martinelli, I think he's been brilliant this season. Had a little bit of a drop-off, but let's be honest, it's easier to defend than it is to be... To be a forward. I think that he's been fantastic. I just want to say about the work rate of those guys. As I was sitting here, I was watching it on, you know, a little bit differently on the Saturday. The work rate of the team is absolutely fantastic. But the machine of that, the oil, the cog, whatever you want to say, Granit Xhaka, without a shadow of a doubt. I think what he's done this season is just, you know, when people say, "Oh, that's a miracle," you know, I've got to say that. Like, I was analysing it on Saturday. You know, he went down after 5 minutes, and everybody was gayed. People around, oh no, like, you know, what I mean, like, yeah. 2 years ago, yeah, they're all been cheering, like, you know, and then everybody singing his name when he went off, and you know, it's, and I tell you what, I watched him in the warm up in the game against Zurich, you know, he was on the bench and he come out to do his warm up. Like, you know, he would have been dreading that 2 years ago if that was the case. Now, he must have absolutely loved that when he got out. The whole crowd was going mad. What a turnaround! What an absolute turnaround! They could make a film about it and no one would believe it, you know, because it's just incredible. And you know, so credit to him. I think he's been outstanding, and I do think that Arsenal missed him on Saturday, but they got the job done. But you know, he's been sensational.
They did. I think that they did in terms of having that kind of slightly more disciplined, solid player alongside Partey. But what Vieira did for the first goal was that little bit of quality with the dink over the keeper. No, I'm not for 1 second saying Xhaka doesn't have that in his locker. I think what Xhaka does in that position is maybe more so just kind of blast it across goal, you know, or something. Don't get me wrong, he's been amazing, but Vieira kind of showed his... What's that?
It could have still worked in that way.
Absolutely. But I think Vieira also showed you what else he can give in that role. And again, on tactical insight, not to spoil it for you, Lee. But
I can't wait to watch it tonight now.
I'm sure. Graham.
Jordan, support me, please.
I'm staying out of this one. I'm staying out of this one, Lee. I don't want no trouble.
No, I'll watch it tonight, like, you know, or tomorrow morning. I'm going to say, I do enjoy the show. I think it's very, very good.
Thank you. I wish I could say the same for Invincibles. So, Fabio Vieira.
Oh, a little bit of jealousy there.
Well, it's actually my boss's podcast, so I should probably... But we get... There's a bit of a rivalry with that podcast. So you play for both teams, which is outrageous. But, and a bit of class. It was very David Silver-esque, that kind of run into that pocket and then that bit of quality. So, yeah, we missed him, but we got something else in Vieira, who actually probably put in a 5 or 6 out of 10 performance at best, really. But
I will say this, which we forgot to bring up in the Wolves thing, that Ødegaard come to the foil in that game. He really did. 2 goals. You know, we'd lost Xhaka, who I do believe is the captain, other than being in name. Someone had to come step up, and he stepped up. And I think that role, I don't know if you noticed it, that they, I don't know if you put this in your tactical show, I'm sorry if you didn't, like, you know, is that they were sort of, Vieira and Ødegaard were swapping roles quite a lot, like they alternating, like we do up front, you know, I mean, I see it's simple, you know, there was times when I see Jesus out wide and Martinelli going in, it's very, very smooth. That happened in midfield as well, like, you know, so I don't know if you mentioned that on your tactical show, James, but... never mind if you didn't.
It's enough. James is frozen. It's another. You've stunned him into silence there, Lee.
I'm actually frozen.
Am I back?
Oh, damn. I just want to, just a slight negative. I know you want to go on to goal of the season. Just a slight negative. I mean, it's another game without a Jesus goal. And he did play well. But I'm still of the mindset that We're gonna need to start scoring some goals soon. So let's just hope that he can go away with Brazil. You know, I don't know, score some goals there.
He had two chances. He scored one and hit the bar.
This is true. And the goal he scored was a good finish. But
yeah, good finish.
I'm just saying, it's another game without a goal, and it's just like, it's not concerning me, but it's noted. That's what I'm saying.
Can I just apologise? My internet must have realised Lee was giving me some tactical advice and decided to shut down. So apologies for that.
It's a very clever internet you've got there, isn't it? Though,
you know? Yeah, well, this is some real high tech shit.
What's that? Is that Graham there on his push bike? You know, getting turned,
Running the internet.
Running the internet back there, is he? Go on, Graham, pump it, son, pump it.
Keeping in consideration the time, we have to move on to goal of the season now. Who are we starting with? Brian Lee, let's go straight to you.
Granite Xhaka, Spurs. I just think it was poignant. I just got to say, there have been some great goals this season, by the way. But that Thomas Partey's 2 against Forest and Spurs. But I just think, for everything, the noise when it went in against Spurs, it was a great move as well. And when it went in, oh my God, that was sensational. I've got to say so. Granit Xhaka for me.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of, I'll be too boring about it. It kind of depends what you mean by the best. So in terms of pure technique, you're looking at Saka's against Leeds, kind of roof of the net. You're looking at Partey's against Spurs and Forest, that kind of whip he gets on the ball. I mean, those are probably the best in terms of pure technique, maybe Jesus against Leicester. But for me, because of the ones that got me off my seat, and I fully lost my head for both, were, as you mentioned, Xhaka's one against Spurs, but also Martinelli's first and only against Liverpool. I just sat down. I was so pumped for this game. You know, we'd sung the new song. The Arsenal fans are, you know, we've just beaten Spurs the week before. It's Liverpool. This is our chance. Our Arsenal are going to fold under the pressure. 45 seconds and whatever it is. Odegaard like a knife through butter. Arsenal played their way into that position really, really well. And then it's just, you know, Saka into Odegaard, slips into Martinelli, bang, goal. You guys, I don't know where you guys are. You're on the watch along. You guys might have been at the game. I was sat watching it in the DR studios. And as the goal went in, kind of, you know, when you get you go closer to the TV as you think the goal's coming. I'm getting a bit close to it. And as it went in, I ran off like I'd scored the goal. Like I ran off celebrating, like there was a crowd to jump into. Like it was just the way we cut through them. And then the noise when it went in the back of the net as well. That and the Xhaka goal for me were absolutely my favourites.
For me, I'm going with the Partey Tottenham one. I'm going with the Partey. It's been a long time coming, something like that from Partey. He's had a few efforts similar to those from that sort of distance. And the first one that really found its home was against Tottenham. You know, so for me, I was in Paris watching that game, and yeah, the bar I was watching it, and I was the only one watching the football. I was watching in a bar / restaurant. I was going mad. A few families were just looking at me like, "Is this guy all right?" But nah, I wasn't all right. I can't lie to you.
Where you said / restaurant, it was definitely a definitely sit a down.
No,
there was fine dining in the heart of Paris.
Five star. I'm
it. Come on, you Arsenal.
He's knocked out the waiter by accident. Celebrating.
Nah, I can't lie. I got a few funny stares after I went wild. I realized it's only me watching it, but yeah, it was worth it.
That
it
is
was
great. Worth it.
Go on, Jordan.
Briefly, I think for me, I don't remember if it was the first or second Odegaard goal against Bournemouth. I think it was the first.
Second, when he just lashed it in, smashed it. Just
no, yeah. Which was the one with the really good build-up? There was one that had really good back-to-front, old-school Arsenal goal.
Was it when White overlapped, cut it back to Jesus, and then he laid it off to Odegaard, who smashed it? Or
was the other one?
The other one was when White cleared it, and then Jesus like nudged the defender, took the first
touch. That one. I love that goal. I love that goal. That for me was a brilliant goal, and when the second goal went in, I thought we're going to batter him 5 or 6 here. There's 5 or 6 goals to be had here. I got really excited about what we could do that day. I love that goal. That goal really gave me a feeling of, come on, let's break a record here. We didn't, but that goal was brilliant. But yeah, the Partey goal against Spurs was brilliant. He who heard name scoring against Spurs was a very poignant goal as well, as Lee mentioned. And the Saka goal was very Batistuta-esque, just smashing it into top of the net, roof of the net. Batistuta is my favourite striker of all time. And that was like a real Gabriel Batistuta type finish. Just rasped it over the keeper's head into the roof of the net. I love that goal. There's been some great goals. Sorry?
Weaker foot as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it was.
So how many great goals have been blessed this season?
We've been blessed.
Xhaka one against Southampton, class. You know, yeah. White on the overlap.
Oh, yeah.
Very good.
You could talk about...
Jesus had that bender.
Yeah. I think there's a few from Martinelli. The one against Leicester, left foot from distance. You've got his header against Forest. Oh, yeah. I think it was underrated. Yeah, Odegaard against Forest. Into the roof of the net.
The Martinelli header, you're right. The Martinelli header against Forest. That's a very good header, yeah.
I mean... Oh, it's a good day. As Lee would say, it's a good day, Robbie.
So we've done performance, we've done player, and we've done goal. And on that note, I think we keep it moving. Comment to the daily.
Listen, it's a classic. I've got to say, it was a classic from Brendan Chapman. You know what's coming. You know what's coming, Turkish, right? Lee Jordan's not the only one that didn't watch the game this week, absolute classic,
because Brighton wasn't aired.
Brendan
Chapman, bloody hell, deserve a medal for that. It was absolute class.
You know? He's killing me.
I'll tell you what, there's some fantastic comments again this week, but that one, as soon as I see it, it made me laugh. And it was poignant and everything about it.
James, you missed one game. And then
everyone's on to you. That's what you get remembered for.
Indeed. Can I just say, before we wrap up, Turkish, I just think we should just deep really what we've done in terms of We're going into the World Cup with a 5-point lead. I've been wanging on for the last couple of months saying, we can
get... Yeah, calm down with the wanging.
Wanging on.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed the season.
What was that? Is that another word for it? Is it? I don't
know. Wanging on. About wanting a 2 or 3 point lead. I'd have taken a 2 or 3 point lead. Shut up, y'all. You know what? Forget it. Piss off all of you. Go away.
Hey, listen, we still got the prediction table to bring up, and I've wanged myself back into second.
Oh, God.
You're wanging your way back up a second there, Turkish. Well, I
wanged it in at the end, mate. That's it. Last one in before the World Cup break.
You lot aren't serious.
Oh, I've got tears coming down.
Stick it.
It's the way Lee was so close to his camera and went, "You what?"
You can stick it.
He said you can stick it.
Okay. I ain't going on to the tactical show now. I'm going at my dictionary to see if I'm what it actually means.
Wanger, listen, people that are listening on the audio platform, the prediction table is up. I was the only one to predict the correct score, 2-0 Arsenal.
Don't we know about it?
You let everyone know about it when you get correct scores and you fucking shoot up the table. So it's my turn this week, yeah? Lee. Yeah,
as soon as the game finished, I got a message from Turkish, like with the old dartball targets, you know?
Bullseye, 180. Lee's at the top, 19 points. I'm in second now, 18 points. James is in third, 17 points. And Jordan at fourth with 14 points. 21 games played.
Can I just say, even my family members now who watch this show are like, come on, Jordan, you got to get one. It's embarrassing. It's getting bad now, Jordan. You've got a fluke one at least.
The pressure is on. Not much in it, though. 5 points.
No, I'm hanging in there.
Jordan's 5 points off the top.
Yeah. It's fine. I'll take that. Right, man, there you go.
Yeah.
If it's good enough for City, it's good enough for me.
There you go.
Can I make one final point as we go into the World Cup? I think we've only got from our first team our midfield two who are guaranteed starters for their nations. So everybody else is not a guaranteed. Jesus is not a guaranteed starter. Ben White, Ramsdale's number two. I'm not sure he's guaranteed. I think he probably will.
Southgate might as well pack it in if he doesn't start Saka.
Well, it's two from Sterling, Foden, and Saka. So do you know what I mean? So it's not a guarantee. So in a weird way, and I don't know how far Gardner and Switzerland will even go. So we might come out this World Cup quite unscathed in terms of and Tomiyasu, but he's not part of our first 11 anymore. But only our midfield two are the only two on our team that are gonna play every game for their country at this World Cup. So I think if we play this right, we can come back, you know, without any major injuries, you know, obviously fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed indeed. We need that. And remember, people, a reminder that we are back towards the end of the week for a World Cup special edition. We're going to do a little draw. We're going to follow two clubs each throughout the tournament. And we're going to do one show a week throughout the World Cup period. So still make sure you join us. Show the same love, people. Hit the like button right here. Jordan?
Sorry, me again. And the people watching the program, watching this show, like, comment on who you think your goal of the season so far is. And who's your player and who's your... You know, let us know your performance. And just pick one. Don't be greedy. Just pick one. One goal, one performance. One player. Sorry.
If
sorry
you've ever wangered before, let us
Shut
know.
Like,
yeah, I'm out of here. He's gone. Listen, people, Jordan's gone. If you haven't gone yet, then make sure you wang the like button on the way out and get it up to 1,000 wangs before the show ends. You know what it is already. Love for the love, people. We are out. Peace. Sports Social Podcast Network.